Good morning. Thank you, James and Carla, for that. That was really good. Really appreciate that. I have a slight confession to make this past week as I was preparing for this. I kind of thought that I had it all together and I was going to come here and tell you all how to live your lives and it was going to be great. I thought I could do this on my own. But I can't, and it's only by the grace of God that I'm up here. And Jesus made it pretty clear that my thoughts were not okay. Many of you might be wondering why I'm up here. I was talking to Matt Musser, and he was like, "No, nobody's going to want to go into missions because they think that they have to preach before they go." But this is not a requirement. I did this willingly. A couple months ago, I kind of wanted to preach for a while, and I was always bugging my dad, you know, like, you should get some of the youth to preach, because that'd be really cool. And he's like, "Why don't you preach?" And I'm like, "No, like, you should get the youth to preach." And so I pushed it off, and then I think it was 2 months ago that I finally said, "Okay, I will." And then Doug called me up, and he had everything booked. I was pretty impressed. It was like 2 months out. He had everything booked till this Sunday. So it just so happened that it was a Sunday before I left. I just want to thank you, Doug, for giving me an opportunity to do this. I don't think it's not very common. I just want to say I really appreciate this church and the way you're supporting me as I go, and especially appreciate the youth and the life that they bring to this church, and yeah, it's really awesome. I've been away, feels like a lot recently, but I was really glad that I could be at the youth cabin with y'all, and yeah, just experience your love for God in a new way. Like I said earlier, I'm leaving on Tuesday for Mexico for 2 years to work at an orphanage. The title of the message is Not a Fan. And one thing that's always confused me when preachers come up here and they're like, you know, if my message would have a title, it would be this. I'd be like, I mean, you're just like titling your message. Why don't you just say it? So the title of the message is Not a Fan, and I'm not a fan of Jesus Christ. And everybody's like, "Doug, do you know what you got yourself into?" No, but I'm not, and I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, because fans want all the benefits of being on the team while sitting on the sidelines and not willing to lift a finger or to sweat. I think God really worked. I was just at the bookstore the other day, and I picked up a book, Not a Fan, and it was just kind of random. It was on sale, like $5, and I was like, "This is cool." And so then I read it, and it pretty much lined up with what I was going to talk about, so that's where I got the title. It's not original with me. And then I found out that one of the cell groups did a video series on Not a Fan, so I feel like God was working before I even knew that I was going to be up here. So what does it mean to be a follower? I asked a couple people, random people from the congregation, what they think it means to be a follower to them. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? So Martha, I got Martha do it, but then she was sick this morning, so Irvin's going to read what she had, and then Conrad, James, Beachy, John Smoker, and Rosemary Hirsch. So if you get my mic to them.
Okay, here's what Martha wrote. Jesus said to follow him, we will need to daily deny ourselves and take up our cross. To me, to deny myself and to take up my cross means not my will, but thine, because that's what it meant to Jesus. To me, to be a follower of Jesus Christ means that I choose to push back the flesh that is, to be aware of what my flesh wants and demands, and instead choose God's will and way. Because my flesh is so opposite of His way and His character and Holy Spirit fruit. So, practically speaking, when I want to do away with the hard things, when I cannot fix or change or control the people or events in my life, but instead choose to open my hands, to have a good attitude, and to let go, and believe that God has got all that in His hands, and to choose to trust and believe in a God that I cannot see, this is what following Christ means to me. It means a complete and continual alignment of my spirit, soul, and body with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what I seek and what I want.
Those are some good words.
So first of all, Jeremy, I thought of what is the motivation for following. I was thinking of a follower. What's the motivation? And I thought of three things or reasons for following someone or a motivation. I need something, or I want something, or I desire to be with that person. Those are the three things I thought of, and I think those are all three true in relation to following Christ. And then I thought of three things that a follower of Jesus is characterized by, and it was really good for me actually to think about this question, so thanks for asking me. I've gone through a hard time the last couple months just with some stress and things and feeling anxious about some things, and it was really good for me to think about this. So what three things that I wrote down that a follower of Jesus is characterized by: pursuit of God's kingdom and not the kingdom of this world, a love of people, not possessions, and living to display God's glory, not their own.
As I was thinking about what does it mean to me to follow Jesus, I think Psalm 73, verse 23 through 25 sums up what I have in my heart. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. And as I was thinking about what does it mean to me to follow Jesus, I just thought about all those things. Like, I thought of being under authority, how important that is, how to receive counsel from people, to know what God's will is and then obey His will. Because when you are doing and following Jesus in His perfect will, you will have an abundant life. Mm. And so that's what it means to me to follow Jesus.
Thank you.
For me to be a follower of Jesus, recently I was just impressed again how that is a daily choice I need to make. It's not a once and done thing, because every day I have to live with the big I. And either I give in to the I, or I give in to what Jesus has and wants out of my life. Mm-hmm. And so it is a daily choice, and I don't have that all together, but it's something that I continually will be working on, I believe. It also means that I put Him in the center, make Him the supreme ruler of all that you are, or all that I am, and all that I do.
So for me to fully follow Christ means for Him to be everything in my life. Mark 12, 29 and 30 says, Jesus said to them, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love Him. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. This is the first commandment." So to me, to fully follow Christ means for Him to be everything in my life, and for Him to come first with all the things I do, and to actively seek Him and to fully surrender to Him.
Some good words. Thank you, everybody that shared. We can all go home now. Just kidding. No, that's really good. I want to look at three common responses to Jesus' call to follow Him. But before that, I want to say them not up here to say try harder. Because it feels like in our culture today, everybody's just like, you need to do this, you need to buy this, you need to, you know, and it just gets tiring after a while. And when our identity is in Christ, we'll know what to do. And I feel like a lot of people think it's the other way around, that if, like, once we know what we're doing, then we know where our identity is. But if our identity is in Christ, then we'll know. It'll be out of a love for God rather than out of, like, you have to do this. It needs to be done out of a heart of love. And I thought of the analogy of a parent and a child. You know, you can get your children to do things, like, out of force. But if they love you, if they truly love you, they'll do it out of a heart of love. And, yeah, parents, I just want to say to you right now that your greatest impact on eternity, I think, is through your kids. And because if you decide that if it's anything else, you limit yourself to yourself. But if you view your kids as your greatest impact on eternity, there's like, it spreads. There's 5 U's or 4 U's, you know. Not that it should be the only thing. Otherwise, it'll just go down and down, you know. And I feel like my parents have done that really well in the way that they've raised us. And yeah, just a lot of time and investment. I just want to thank you guys publicly. I don't think I'd know where I'd be without you guys, but it certainly wouldn't be up here or going to Mexico. When we try to do things on our own strength, even good things, you know, we'll eventually run dry. And when we were at the youth cabin, Leroy gave the picture of the Sea of Galilee as a river flowing in and a river flowing out. And the Dead Sea is like 4 miles away, and it's completely dead. There's no life in it. And the only difference is it has an inlet but doesn't have an outlet. And it's so easy to receive all this stuff without giving anything out, and we just become dead and stagnant. And so we need to have an inlet, but we also need to have an outlet, I think, impacting eternity. I forget where the verse is, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I got a lot of my ideas from the book, not a fan. And the last, I think it's near the end, there's 3 chapters called Following Jesus Whenever, Wherever, and Whatever. And so I want to look at Luke 9, 57 to 62. Luke 9, 57 to 62. And I'm reading from the ESV. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So right now I want to look at verses 57 and 58. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It sounds like this guy's really committed. He's like, I'll follow you. I'll follow you everywhere, like anywhere you go. And Jesus looked at him and he pointed to the one thing that made him most uncomfortable. He's like, I'm homeless, man. You know? And the guy's like, oh. You know? Did I say wherever? Wherever you go? And I think beliefs are a lot more of the way you live your life than what you say they are. No, I can say I believe a lot of things, but unless I live out of that belief, I don't think I believe it. And he sounded really committed, but he really wasn't. When it really came down to it, he was not willing to give up his comfort for Jesus. And I see that so much in my own life. You know, I'm not willing to give up comfort. I say, you know, it's really easy to say, oh, you know, I'll follow you, Jesus. And then he comes and he says, go there. And you're like, there? I feel like especially here in Lancaster, it's so easy to get comfortable where we are, or anywhere for that. I'm not specifically Lancaster, I guess. And, you know, is this where Jesus wants you? Or is this just where you've grown up and so this is where you are? I don't mean to make you doubt where you know, where God has led you. If God has led you here, great. That's what each of us are called to, follow where Jesus leads us. And he leads us each in specific ways. You know, if God called you all to Mexico, Mexico would be overflowing. And you know, there's a saying of where you are isn't as important as how intentional you are. And I'd say I agree with that, but I don't like how it kind of downplays where you are, because God leads us to specific places, I think, or from what I see in Scripture, you know. And I feel like sometimes for me it can be used as an excuse to just, you know, well, I'll just be intentional where I am, and I'll just stay here, you know, when God's calling you to somewhere else. And so I want to challenge you guys to seek out God's call in your life. One of my favorite quotes is, you cannot spell God or even gospel without first spelling go. And for some it means, you know, going out your front door. For some it means going to Mexico or to Asia. And it seems, for some reason, it seems easier to go to Mexico than out your front door to your neighbor and share the love of Jesus with him. You know, why is that? The next guy, Jesus says, and to another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first and go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And, you know, he used exactly the same words that he used for the 12 disciples. And compare this guy's response to the disciples' response. They left everything just like that, and they followed him. And this guy is, you know, he wants, you know, that sounds like a fair request. You know, he wants to go and bury his father. And I'm not a Bible scholar, but my dad is, and so I asked him what this meant. And it was more that he wanted to go home and wait till his dad dies and bury him and then go and follow him. He didn't want to follow him now. And he's pretty similar to the other guy. It sounds like he, you know, he wanted to, like, I want to, but, you know, I want to bury my father. And I feel like a lot of times we can let what we think to be urgent to get in the way of the important. And I'm not sure if you guys have ever, it's a little booklet, it's called The Tyranny of the Urgent, I think. It's, you can read it in like 10 minutes. It's really good. So just a little plug in there. My uncle James is an airplane mechanic, and he used to de-ice the planes in Canada. You know, it gets so cold they have to de-ice the planes before they fly. Otherwise, the ice will build up on the wings and it'll take it down. And so the one day, there's a pilot that was way behind schedule, and he was really in a rush. And, you know, my James came to de-ice the plane, and he just waved him off. He was like, no, I need to go. We're way behind schedule. And so he takes off, gets around 400 yards, and crashes, and all the people in it die. I think, right? All of them died? 30 that survived. But, you know, he thought that time was urgent, and he missed what was important because he thought that getting on time was more important. and he suffered the consequences, and others suffered the consequences too. And feels like, especially for me, when I'm in Lancaster and there's just a hustle bustle of life, and there's just, you can get busy so fast, and you know, we miss out on the important. And the way we spend our time says a lot about who we are and who we're following, and whether we're a fan or a follower. And I know I spend a lot of time on Facebook and Snapchat and, you know, all the other social media, and Instagram and fantasy football. And it's so easy to spend more time doing that than, you know, in the Word or doing ministry. And, you know, the way you spend your time, are you saying, like, seems what you're saying is that looking good is more important than my relationship with Jesus. And that's one thing that I've really struggled with. And a lot of times it's easy, oh, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll work on that tomorrow. And, you know, there's no guarantee of tomorrow. If you're not willing to do it now, what makes you think you're going to be willing to do it then? And then the last guy, verse 61, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And it's pretty similar to the other guy. He wants to say goodbye to his family, you know? That seems like a fair request. But I think in that culture, there was like a lot of like, it would have been like weeks or months of farewells and saying goodbye, you know? And so he wasn't willing to do it now. He wanted to do it then. He wasn't willing to give up what he had. So I guess my challenge to you guys is, are you willing to give up what you have to follow Christ? So what am I trying to say in all this? There's literally nothing in this life that's going to matter or last unless it affects eternity. You know, what are we doing with our lives? Like, that's convicting to me. Like, what am I doing with my life? There's nothing that's going to matter unless it impacts eternity. It's so easy to get caught up in, you know, all of these things. And at the same time, Jesus' love for you will never change. It's not about his love changing. He's going to love you no matter what. He loves each of us no matter what. And it's out of that love that we can give to others and to follow Christ. And we're never going to get it completely right, you know, until we're in heaven. If we could get it right here, then there'd be no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. But he did because he loved us. But there's nothing redemptive about a love that accepts you for who you are. I want to close with a passage in John. John 21, 15 to 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. You know, he had just followed him for 3 years. He'd followed him everywhere. And now, you know, he died, and this was after his resurrection. And his command is still the same, to follow him. And I think that command is still for us to today. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for this morning, and for James and Carla, I pray that you bless them for the worship time. I pray that you'd be with our fellowship afterwards, and pray just that you would touch each person here, and just thank you for a church body that surrounds each one of us, and who loves you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.